Please, we need you so much tonight. Thank you for your word that you've given us and the many promises therein, Lord. Help us to see you on every page and every sentence of your word that you've given us, Lord. Draw us to you. We want you and you alone, Lord. And we believe, Lord. Just help us in our unbelief, please, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you will open your Bible and join me in John chapter 3. As I've been teaching through John up at Eastside Christian, and one of the things I like to do each time I teach is I first jump ahead to chapter 20 and its last verse, verse 31, where John wrote, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So that is the purpose of the book of John, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ and that we might have life through his name. And I know John chapter 3 contains probably the most well-known, if not one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, which proclaims that we can have life through his name. But the entire gospel of John, the purpose is that we might know him, believe in him, and have life through his name. And at the end of the previous chapter, we had Jesus cleansing the temple. And now, after he's done that, that caused quite a ruckus. The Pharisees were really not happy about that, to put it mildly. Of course, we often, as we see, usually, as a rule, the only people Jesus gets angry with are the religious leaders who are leading people astray or keeping them from coming to him. And so he cleanses that temple, and he tells them that if you destroy this temple, I will rebuild it in 3 days. And, you know, they think he's talking about the temple, but he's talking about himself. And so then after this, that is what precedes what happens here at the beginning of John chapter 3. So I'm going to start reading here, verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." And as I was just reading that, something that hasn't jumped out to me before jumped out to me. John doesn't say there came a Pharisee named Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He's not, as we learn through the Gospel of John, he's not in with everything that the Pharisees are doing, their opposition to Jesus. He's part of the Pharisees, part of the Pharisaical order. But he's coming to Jesus as a man, not as a Pharisee. In lots of places you see a lawyer, a scribe, or a Pharisee, or they came to Jesus. Here, this is a man of the Pharisees. He's part of the Pharisees, but he's coming to Jesus as a man with what I believe are serious questions. He's not coming to trip up, or any of that other stuff that we see the religious leaders, the Jews, trying to do to Jesus. I don't believe he was ashamed to come to Jesus. I don't believe that he was coming at night so that he wouldn't be mocked for coming to Jesus. I do believe that he was seeking a private audience with Jesus because he wanted to be able to ask questions without the interruption of unbelievers. And he wanted to see if what his heart was telling him was true. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, you're going to have time to turn there because my Bible is still, this Bible here is still kind of new to me, so it takes me a minute to get to where I'm going. This is a well-known verse, even if you don't know its address. I know a lot of verses, but don't know their address. And then when I go to their address, I'm like, that's where you live. Okay. I didn't know your address. And this oftentimes is one of them. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. To me, this is the refuting statement, the most clear-cut refuting statement that the Bible has to those people who say Christianity is a check-your-brains-at-the-door religion. Really? God says, come and reason. Bring your doubts. Bring your concerns. Bring your hesitations. Bring what your heart is telling you. Come, let's reason. And that is what I believe Nicodemus is doing. He has what his heart is telling him, but he also has his lifetime of tradition that he's been taught. And when it says he's a ruler of the Jews, later on, Jesus, you know, he says, where is it? Verse 10, he says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? In the original language, from what I've read in commentators, it really means, are you not the master of Israel? Are you not the one that the preeminent teacher of all of Israel? And you don't know these things? So this is the top guy. He knows God's word, apparently, better than anyone else in Israel, till Jesus got there anyway. And so this guy has all that. And he's coming to Jesus saying, I've been taught all this, but my heart is telling me this, and I want to know. And just like I was saying earlier, the other religious leaders, the scribes, the lawyers, the teachers of the law, when it says that, that's what they are. That's who they are. They're not a man who teaches the law. They're not a man who works as a scribe. They're coming as that, and they want to trip him up and everything. But that's not why Nicodemus is coming. And that's why Jesus' response to Nicodemus is different. Picking up in verse 3. So in verse 2, remember, he just said, we know, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God is with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So Nicodemus has confusion when he's told, you've got to be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And I've seen translations where they say born from above. And I've often wondered, is it born again or is it born from above? But when I do a plain read of the passage here, obviously, he said born again. It can mean born from above, because he is talking about a spiritual rebirth, is what he's talking about. But he obviously said born again, because Nicodemus is like, do I have to go in my mother's womb again to be born again? Is that what, so obviously. So he is reasoning with Jesus here. Nicodemus is doing, I'm sure all of you, because we're all people of like passions, Nicodemus is doing what we wish the disciples would do. He's asking questions. He's asking the questions that we would be like, what does he mean? And the disciples are just like, okay. It's like, ask questions. Get me some answers. But do they? Not usually. But Nicodemus is doing it. He's asking questions. He's doing what Isaiah 1:18 says. He's come and he's reasoning with Jesus. And so he keeps asking questions. And Jesus explains further. Now, here's another thing. I was reading some commentaries and such, and some of them are saying that these parts here where they talk about being born of water and of the Spirit, they're talking about baptism and then of the Spirit. But as I read the plain reading, as I take it in the context, when you're born, the water breaks first, born of water. Because Jesus goes on and say, flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. So water breaks, flesh is born, And when you come to faith in Christ, the Spirit comes into you. Might I be wrong? Quite possibly. But that's what I get from a plain reading of Scripture. So that's what I'm going with. And it makes sense to me. In many parts throughout the book of John, Jesus is talking about, as he does later on, you know, that which is earthly is earthly, that which is spirit is spirit. Clearly defining things. Just like in John chapter 6 when he talks about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. But later on, he points out, the things that I speak are spirit and they are truth. So he's not talking about eating his flesh. He's talking about joining him, taking him and his word into you and being one with him. I love it when I'm reading God's word and I get goosebumps. I love that. Just, God blows my mind on a regular basis when I'm reading his word, and it's so awesome. So, as I was saying, if Jesus explains further, he explains further, if we're not born of water or born of the flesh and born of the Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So he starts out, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And here he amps it up. If you're not, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. He's expanding for Nicodemus because he's asking questions. Jesus doesn't want us to just blindly and blithely accept whatever we're told. He wants us to ask. If you have a question, ask a question. And if you can't find somebody who has the answer, pray. Dig into the word. Pray. Dig into the word. I haven't been a good practitioner of this, but Chuck Missler, in one of his times he was teaching, said, keep a journal. When you have a question that you don't, and you can't find an answer anywhere, write it down. Write the date down and pray and ask God to give you the answer to that. I think I did it once. But he said, if you keep doing that, and then when God shows you the answer, write that down and write the date. And then you will have a journal that you can go back to when you're feeling down, when you're feeling, does God really love me? When those moments, because we all get them, and you can go back to that journal and you can go, wow, God answered my prayer. God answered my prayer. God answered my prayer. And that can encourage you what God has already done for you. Especially since none of us are getting any younger. And as Pastor Cardi would put it, as we get older, our forgetterers get stronger than our rememberers. So if we write those things down and we forget, we can look back and go, oh, yep, there it is. Yep, God, he answered my prayers. He revealed this to me. And that will be a great encouragement. So in relation to 1 Corinthians, where Jesus said, if you're not born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, I think we were there recently, not too long ago. And in that verse, Paul wrote, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So if you're only flesh and blood, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. You have to have the Spirit come in you and revitalize your spirit. Remember, God told Adam when he said, you know, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. In that day, you will die. Now, if we've got enough of the evolution garbage washed out of our brains that we can remember that before sin, there was no death. What must Adam have thought? Die? What's die? Because nothing died. Nothing of the flesh died. What could he be talking about? The Spirit. When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his spirit died. He lost his connection to God. As Jesus in John 15 says that we have to stay rooted in him. We have to stay connected in him. We got to abide in him. If we don't abide in him, we're dead. We're nothing. He gives us the negative version of what Paul would later write where, you know, through Christ I can do all things. And in John 15, Jesus says, without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing of value, nothing of substance, nothing of worth if you're doing it apart from Christ. Now let's move on to verse 8 here in John chapter 3. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wants to, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it came from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, I don't fully, full-on have a firm comprehension of what Jesus is saying in that verse, of what exactly he means, but I have some verses that help me understand it better. So if you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. That's right after, I think that's after Song of Solomon or Song of Songs, however you want to say it. Or is that before Song? It's before. It's between Proverbs and Song. I had the right neighborhood. I just didn't have the right address, you know. Exact street. That's too far. Ecclesiastes. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And I don't. God shows us as much as we need to know. And Scripture also says, without faith it's impossible to please him. So he gives us enough for us to believe and to have faith and take the rest on faith, because God is so much bigger than we are, so much grander. And I'm sure it's going to take all of eternity to not even scratch the surface of how great and awesome God is. I would, in the past, when I would teach Sunday school, I would say to the kids in the class, I said, all right, you want to have an idea what heaven's like? Think of the most awesome thing you think it could possibly be. And I'd give them a moment to think about that. And I'd say, then multiply it by a billion. And I'm sure that if I don't think heaven has a slums area, but if it did have a slums area, you just imagine the slums, because you can't think of how awesome heaven is. None of us can. All of humanity could put all their heads together to try to come up with what heaven's going to be like, and we'd still fall short. We are going to be absolutely blown away when we get there. I've heard somebody say you're going to be surprised by who's there, you're going to be surprised by who's not there, and then you're going to be surprised, I'm here? You know, I'm here, really? Wow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have another one of the verses that helps me to get an idea of what's going on in John 3, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God knows the things of God. We have to be born again. We need to have God revitalize us, put a new spirit within us. We need to have that. And then the last passage that helps me to better understand this verse is back in Isaiah chapter 55, starting at verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And continuing on, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And here it is. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus is, again, honestly questioning Jesus. How can these things be? And Jesus answers him, questioning how those who are the masters, or the one who is the master in Israel, are ignorant of these truths that are in the Old Testament. They're right there. He then begins to break it down for Nicodemus. As I said earlier, Jesus always rewards the seeker, not the one who's coming with a motive, unless that motive is, I want to know. If they're coming to try to trip him up or prove that he's not who he says he is, then Jesus doesn't have an answer for them other than, shoo, get away. Except he's usually not that nice. In Luke chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God. Honestly answering the seeker. Seek the kingdom of God. And we know from later passages, it seems quite clear that Nicodemus was seeking the kingdom of God. Why else would he show up risking everything to bring spices and everything for Jesus' burial? To be connected with the man who his fellow Pharisees condemned. Jesus teaches this teacher that he needs to grasp and believe the earthly things before he can grasp and believe the heavenly things. And if he needs to do that, so do we. And then Jesus tells him who he is and why he has come. And he references Numbers 21. And the gift available for those who believe in him. Believe. This is another thing that I would talk to the kids in Sunday school class about. Belief. To try to help them understand belief. I'd say to them, believe is not here. It's not here. It's in here. And it's something, it's deeper than just, oh yeah, I believe that. Like when you came in tonight, you sat yourself down and you sat down in the chair. You didn't stop and go, let me move this thing. Let me look under here. Are all the screws tight? Is everything good? No, you just sat down because you believed the chair would hold you. And in the same way, we need to believe that Jesus will do, has done, and will do what he has said he will do. That he's got us. That when we're in his hand, there's nobody that can take us out of his hand. That when we put our faith and trust in him, he takes our sin upon himself and he gives us his righteousness. We trust. I've heard another example like trusting that when you jump out of a plane with a parachute on, that when you pull it, it's going to open. Otherwise, you're not going to jump out of that plane. Not if you're not suicidal. You believe it's going to open and it's going to save you, and you have to have that same kind of trust, that same kind of belief in Jesus. It's not just, oh yeah, I believe that. No. And moving on to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Actually, I'm going to back up to 15 because Jesus kind of hammers this point home like seven ways from Sunday. He just boom, boom, boom. Let me say it a different way for you. Let me say it another way for you. I want you to get this. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Jesus clearly knew that Nicodemus did not come arrogantly, but earnestly. So Jesus is one who gives the law to those who are arrogant, and the gospel to the earnest. And here, he clearly gives Nicodemus the gospel. Tells him straight out, in multiple different ways, this is the gospel. Whosoever will may come. 2 Timothy chapter 2. There we go. There's 2 Timothy. We're still supposed to take the gospel out to those who hate the light and love the dark. We're still supposed to take it out. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, Paul wrote, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." I even have that underlined, because those that oppose themselves. People think they're opposing Christ. No, they're opposing themselves. Christ is offering them salvation. He's offering them forgiveness of sin. He's offering them eternity in heaven with him. But they oppose that, and thereby they are opposing themselves. They are casting themselves into hell. I don't want God. Well, the only place God isn't is hell. It's a place he prepared for the devil and his angels. Not for any of us, but it's a place he prepared. And so he has a place for people who reject him to go. And they are opposing themselves. They are the ones who are casting themselves into hell, even though they think they're not. They think they're just opposing these silly Christians and their stupid message. But they're opposing themselves, which is why we need to not be angry or upset with them. We need to be heartbroken for them and to pray that God would soften their hearts and open their ears so that they would hear and receive and realize, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. That's what I need. We have to pray for them. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And it's hard sometimes because they make you angry. They push your button or several, and you can just get so upset. And that's when we need to pray, Lord, break my heart for these people, because I'm not broken right now for them. I'm really angry at them. Break my heart so that you can break theirs and they can be saved. One of the reasons I don't like to watch the news is I too easily slide into that angry phase. That person needs to be shot in the head. That person needs to be shot in the head. I need to turn the news off. That's what I need to do. Yes. Yep. So now John shifts gears, and he goes to John the Baptist. So we're going to read verses 22 through 24 here. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. So Here we clearly see that the ministries of John and Jesus are operating concurrently. Though Jesus' ministry is growing and is surpassing John's, which we will hear from John is as it should be. In verses 25 and 26, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews. Remember, the Jews, that's the religious leaders who want nothing more than to keep their power and not let people go to Jesus. This is not the Jewish people in general. This is the Jews, the religious leaders. So there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, and by they, I have a feeling this is the Jews coming to him, because they, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. The Jews have some initial success in sowing doubt and discord among John's disciples. And the self-righteous, this is one of the things they're good at, sowing doubt and discord. They're really good at that. In Matthew 16, verses 6 through 12, I'll take a sip and give you a chance to get there. She's not in here at the moment, but my wife will get on me later if I don't give you time to turn there. She says sometimes I'm too quick. All right, so in Matthew 16, verses 6 through 12, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. I think they include these things so that we feel better about ourselves and how slow we can be on the uptake sometimes. I know I am. So, and these disciples are pretty slow in the uptake. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? And then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The self-righteous, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, very good at sowing doubt and discord and teaching people the wrong things. So then we move on. Verse 27, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter here. So they just, you know, do you realize he's getting more famous than you are? You're not as famous anymore. Your record deal might not go through. Your book deal might not go through. You might lose money. You might lose fame. You might lose prestige. So John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I'm not the one that they're supposed to come to. I'm preparing the way, and he is here now. So I'm happy that he's here now. He must increase in verse 30, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifies. And no man receives his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. All things. In the Greek, it's still all. It means all. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Or her.
So John explains again to his disciples and to the Jews who he is again. He's told them before, I'm not the Christ. I come before him. He's coming up along behind me. And then he shares with his disciples who Jesus is, reminding them that he came before the Messiah, but the Messiah is above him. The Messiah must rise, increase, and he must diminish or decrease. And then he shares the Gospels with his disciples like Jesus did with Nicodemus. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Echoing, actually, I believe it's verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John already knows. He's been reading his scriptures. He's been praying. He's been listening to the Spirit. He's been tuned in, and so should we be. Thank you, Lord, for your gracious love for us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Lord, help us to have open eyes, open ears, and hearts that are ready to receive your truth. Lord, show us when we're not being faithful, when we're being more concerned about ourselves. Break our hearts for the lost, Lord. And Lord, give us the words to speak to them. Teach us what we should say, but don't let us be anxious about it. Lord, you will give us what to say. You will show us what to say. We want to glorify you, Lord. Help us to do that. Bring your peace to Jerusalem, and we look forward to your soon return, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.